Indira Gandhi. I'm pilot in an airplane right now. We are flying at 5,900 feet over the mountains just north of Fairbanks, Alaska. We've been to Fort Yukon today. Flying is probably the most important means of transportation in Alaska.
Es el mensaje para Maravillosa Gracia con destino al día 17 de enero de 1971.
Good morning. Let us sing together Word of God Across the Ages. It'll be number one in your program, in the back section of your program. Let us stand together for singing. Now turning your programs to number 10, he's got the whole world in his hand. We're going to sing this next, and you know, I'm sure out of the several thousand we have present this morning, there may be hundreds of versions of this spiritual. So I'm going to sing the first stanza, and I don't know yet how I'm going to sing it, but ever how I sing it, you kind of join in on the next, and sing it a kind of the way I did it, okay? You may vary a little bit, but let's all join together. On the last stanza, if you feel like it, when he's got everybody here in his hands, if you want to, you might just clap a little bit. All get in the spirit this morning, okay?
He's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the wind and rain in his hands. He's got the wind and rain in his hands. He's got the wind and rain. The tiny babes in his hand. He's got the tiny babes in his hand. He's got the tiny babes in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Everybody, he's got everybody in his hand.
He's got everybody.
Thank you. Well, it's a little bit early in the morning for us to get all the notes and beats right, isn't it? We're going to have a wonderful day. You know, a song I like to sing is a story from the New Testament, the story of the prodigal son. It's set to music by Van der Water. It's one of the most often quoted passages from the New Testament. It's very dramatic as it appears in the Holy Scripture. It's also dramatically set to music. The Penitent by Van der Water.
A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Give me the goods that falleth to me." And he divided to them his living. And the younger son gathered together and journeyed to a far-off country and wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine in that land. And he began to be in want, and no man gave unto him. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, while I perish with hunger, with hunger. I will arise and go unto my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight. And am no more worthy to be called thy son.
is one of thy hired servants. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, who saw him and had compassion, and ran and said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and shoes on his feet. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his hand. For this my son was dead, but he is alive again. He was lost, now he's found. He was lost, now he's found. My son was lost, but now
to wait a few moments now as the ushers seat the people who are coming in. In the meantime, would you be turning to the inside back cover of your program? We have our prayer calendar here listed on the prayer calendar for today, June 10. I want you to look at the names of the missionaries there and put your finger by one name. I have my finger by one name, Robert Tremaine of Massachusetts. Mr. and Mrs. Tremaine have a daughter, a teenage daughter, who has leukemia. She is better, but she needs our prayers. And I have my finger by his name. Do you have yours by name? If you do, will you lift your hand? All together, we're going to bow our heads now. Have a few seconds of silent prayer, then I'll close our prayer. Heavenly Father, for the daily reminders of our missionaries who need our prayers, we give our grateful thanks. We give our thanks for their services wherever they are. And on this day, which is the birthday of each one listed here on June 10, we know in our hearts that that missionary is counting on us today, more than any other day in the year, perhaps. And yet we need to remember that they need our prayers every day. And so as we pause this morning, in this Monday morning session of our annual meeting, we would begin it with prayer for these missionaries scattered here at home and around the world. We pray for the work which they do, for their families, for the health of the families, for every good thing that can come this day to these in particular, and for others who need our prayers in a special way, perhaps in ways we do not know about. Be with us this morning and through the day as we proceed in the programming of our annual meeting. For we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm sure that you have noticed the yellow dresses of our ushers. I notice others if you have on yellow dresses. But especially, our ushers are wearing yellow dresses. Now, those of us from Texas know why. I doubt that the rest of you know. But you know, the Yellow Rose of Texas is the official song for Texans. And we know it pretty well. This morning, Mrs. George Goff, WMU Director for Dallas Association, will bring greetings to us. At the close of her greetings, we have asked all of our ushers in the balconies, wherever they are, to come down the steps so that all around the balconies they'll be standing in these entrances so that we can see all of them. And on this floor, they will come down to the front and face the audience as Dr. George R. Beasley Murray plays a new tune, The Yellow Rose of Texas. And if you don't know how to play it, we'll get somebody else. But we'll give you a chance. Then if you don't do it right and with real pep and real vigor, we won't stand for that. Now then, Mrs. Goff, and we cannot tell you how busy she's been. I don't doubt if she could tell you. I think she's a little unconscious at this stage. But Alma Hunt and I came here Saturday morning, and that balcony back there was just loaded with women from Dallas Association, more volunteered than she knew what to do with. So Dorothy Goff, please come and tell us you're glad we're here, whether you are or not.
Madam President and friends of WMU, who has not gone to some far place to visit, listen, learn, and to know that the smile you see on every face welcomes you and wanted everything just so? It is only a yellow flower, but with many wishes so dear, to bring you a very glorious hour and a memory to last throughout this year. The women of Dallas do welcome you. We have looked forward to this moment for many, many days, and sometimes it seemed as though it would never arrive, and when it did get here, we were so pleased. So we hope that if you have any needs, that you will look for one in a yellow dress with a yellow rose, and we will be pleased to help you. Thank you.
All right, let's go, Dr. Beasley Murray. Rose of all from Texas. This is my little granddaughter, Amy Coffey, from Dalhart, Texas. Hope you'll forgive me for that. I was scared to death she'd stick her thumb in her mouth, but she didn't. Now, I think I should be given the privilege of doing another thing this morning. A busload of women came from my church in Waco, Columbus Avenue Baptist Church, And I think you would allow me the privilege to ask my women from the Columbus Avenue Baptist Church to stand, wouldn't you? Would you stand? Isn't that great? All over. I saw in our bulletin where they were to leave at 7 or 7:30. I was glad I wasn't there to come with them. Now, as we come to a business session this morning, and I'm out of breath going down the steps. I'm a little too old to do that. I'll ask Ms. Hunt to come and make a motion to organize and to adopt our order of business.
Madam President, I move that members of WMU organizations attending this annual meeting be recognized as constituting the body, and that the printed program in your hands with any necessary changes be the order of business.
All right, is there a second to the motion? All right, do you wish to discuss it? If not, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it and it's carried. Now remember, everybody has a chance to vote. We have no registration. All right, Ms. Hunt? I would like for you to read Article 7, Sections 1 and 2.
Section 1 of our bylaws says the nominating committee shall be composed of state WMU presidents from state conventions qualifying for representation on Southern Baptist Convention boards. If the state president cannot serve, the executive secretary of the respective state shall serve as alternate. During the first business session of the annual meeting, the executive secretary shall call a meeting of the nominating committee for the election of a chairman, a co-chairman, and a secretary. The committee shall report at the next annual meeting. At this time, I would like to call a meeting of this committee on adjournment of the afternoon session. If members of the nominating committee would come to the chairs to the rear of this platform immediately after the session, the meeting will be held.
All right, now, will you listen to this announcement? At the end of the morning session, ushers will distribute our executive board reports. And you will please keep it, and we will take it up for consideration this afternoon. Have an emergency announcement here. That's the only kind we make. Mrs. Arlen Davis, please meet Mr. Davis at once at door 4, or entrance 4. Mrs. Arlen Davis, are you here? All right, you go to entrance 4. Now we have some greetings here this morning, and I want you to have the benefit, privilege of hearing them. I think you'll be glad to know that we have received a greeting from Women's Missionary Union of Nigeria, signed by the President, Aduke Akinola. Greetings to Women's Missionary Union in annual meeting. We congratulate Ms. Hunt for many years of meritorious service, wishing her a happy retirement. Well, she needs that wish, I'm sure. We have greetings from Sophia Nichols, WMU Executive Secretary in Brazil. This, in the main, is addressed to Ms. Hunt, but she also expresses her gratitude to Women's Missionary Union of the Southern Baptist Convention for all the help that has been given to Brazil during these years. We have greetings from Taiwan. Please convey to your women our grateful appreciation for the message which you sent to our annual meeting last year. Greetings from co-workers with the Lord in the Republic of China. As you come together for your 1974 convention, we give thanks always for you in our prayers, knowing God will continue to bless you as you have so freely shared with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that we too may share with others and join with you in his great task. Your sisters in Christ, Baptist Women's Missionary Union of Taiwan, and signed by the President. If I had Miss Blanche Groves up here, she could pronounce it for me. But I cannot pronounce that name. So Miss Blanche, sometime I'll give you a chance. All right, we've had many other greetings by letters, long letters, especially referring to Miss Alma Hunt's retirement. But we will save these letters until a later time. May I make one or two other very brief announcements? Missionary badges, missionaries, take note if you do not have one, are available in the mission board's exhibit booth. We do have a reserved section down here in the front, which is for those who have cards sent by Ms. Hunt. These are for our board members, for our missionaries, and for leaders of our Southern Baptist Convention. I want to tell you that this afternoon when you come in, you will see a reserved section right in here. I don't think there were any seats to be left this morning, but this afternoon, 600 seats for the ACT teens who have bought tickets for the lunch today. And they will be in our afternoon session and be recognized, and will sing their song. So you please be here right on time. And all of these seats in here that will be tied off this afternoon will be for the 600 ACT teens who are here for the luncheon. Now, this morning, we are very happy to have on our platform and as our speaker, Mrs. James Fancher. Mrs. Fancher is a native of Texas and lives in Mississippi with her pastor husband. She writes for many Southern Baptist publications and writes a regular column in the Mississippi Baptist Paper, the state paper of that state. She is editor of a column that is very intriguing and interesting, especially to the women. It is A Woman's World Reaches Far Beyond the Ironing Board. And so Mrs. Fancher speaks to us this morning beyond the ironing board. Mrs. James Fancher.
If you listen to your world, you will hear a need. Sometimes it sounds like a sigh, easing out at unexpected times. It's okay. I'll start over. If you listen to your world, you will hear a need. Sometimes it sounds like a sigh, easing out at unexpected times. Sometimes it's like a deep exhaled breath. Sometimes it's like the sound of a heartbeat, maybe fast and pumping, maybe slow and irregular, maybe almost stopping from despair. And if you listen to your world, you will surely look at it to see where all the sounds come from. There is something in the heart of a Christian woman that looks at dirty things and wants to make them clean, that looks at messiness and wants to make it neat, that looks at chaos and wants to give it order, that looks at her child and wants him to grow up well, that looks at her husband and wants to be all he needs her to be, that looks at her own life and wants Christ to come through much clearer. I call that something in my heart the Holy Spirit, that lovely, unseen but felt manifestation of God that sort of hugs me up close and says to me, all through each busy day, if I will listen, the things I need to hear. The being who said to me when I was a little girl, things like, there's more to life than high school. Live these years so that your adult years will be less tense and troubled. The being who says to me now that I am an adult, things like, there's more to life than things. There's more to life even than this earth. Live these years keeping in mind how life looks in the light of eternity. It is the Holy Spirit which helps me to keep things in proper perspective, all the way from hairpins to holidays, and all the way from dishpans to death. There must be an average of at least 6 hours of sheer drudgery in housekeeping. Consequently, there are a few chores that a woman must tend to that I'm glad science is doing something about, like ironing. I suspect that my Granny Trenor and my Mama Brown would have never believed in all the years that they stood and sculptured with their irons white shirts that could stand alone, that their granddaughter would shame the name of womanhood by sending her preacher husband into the pulpit Sunday after Sunday in a shirt free of starch and untouched by an iron. Needless to say, I'm pleased as peaches that I lived so long. I'm so pleased, in fact, that I often actually grin as I place those lovely, unwrinkled wrinkled shirts and pants on hangers. And sometimes I stick out my tongue at my iron as I pass it on the way to my husband's and son's closets, arms laden with hangers full of eternally pressed clothing. At the same time, it was from the lowly ironing board, coupled with the even lowlier dishpan, that I learned one of the highest lessons about being a woman. The only two duties about housekeeping that I really dislike are ironing and dishwashing. And who of the vintage that I am could set up housekeeping and begin to rear a family without an abundance of each? Nobody. So I had to come to grips with each. My earliest solution was to let each go undone, as long as there remained enough clean dishes for another meal and enough ironed clothing for another wearing. It was a very unsatisfactory solution. Things slid along. I'm sure that my Heavenly Father was a bit outdone with me about my attitude. I think he knew that I needed to be given a better attitude. I further think he knew I'd have to be given it, that I would wallow in self-pity forever and make no effort to change my own attitude. Therefore, I'm sure that it was his spirit that caused my mind to function as it did one day after I had been ironing. The two older boys, about 6 and 7 then, had been invited to accompany some friends to a neighboring city for a movie, and they were getting ready, and they summoned me several times for help. And the place from which they summoned me was the ironing board, because the shirts they wanted to wear had not been ironed, and I was ironing furiously. All our frenzied efforts came out even, and the results were two very fine-looking, well-groomed boys who gave every evidence of being well cared for. My heart panted twice, once from rushing, and second from joy. As I watched them gleefully pile into Betty's car, something, the Holy Spirit, I am sure, filled my mind with thought. Wilda, how can you despise something that has such marvelous results? When you're ironing, why can't you look beyond the ironing board and see your husband and your sons walking off to school, to church, anywhere, everywhere, into life? By then, they were out of sight of my eyes, but not out of sight of my heart. I glanced upward and said, "Thanks, Father. I needed that. I'll try to remember." No miracle had been wrought that sent me rushing either hilariously nor regularly to the ironing board. But the drudgery had been eased. I no longer saw those clothes as I laid them out before me on the ironing board. I saw those clothes on my family as they went about doing the things that a family is supposed to do. Because now, I was able to look beyond the ironing board. And soon, I could see beyond the dishpan too. As a writer, I have to look beyond my pen and paper, beyond my typewriter, beyond the endless search for ideas, beyond the endless task of writing and rewriting, and beyond the endless stack of rejection slips. It is the Holy Spirit working in the heart of a Christian woman when she looks at shiftlessness and wants to give it ambition, when she looks at aimlessness and wants to give it purpose, when she looks at bland things and wants to give them flavor, when she looks at agitation and wants to give it rest, when she looks at drudgery and wants to give it a sense of accomplishment. This Holy Spirit says to me over and over, do whatever you're doing to the glory of God. I don't know if every Volkswagen wishes it could grow up to be a Cadillac or not. Most people do wish that they could grow up to be something grand and great. In fact, most little boys and girls plan to do exactly that. Dreams by the bushel live in young heads, and these dreams are accompanied in many hearts by the determination to excel and to make the dreams come true. Thus the world has its famous in every area of human achievement. Many wear their achievements with honor. There are, however, many more of us who do not attain fame and wealth than do achieve these goals. What about us? It's very important to remember that we're just as great for us as they're great for them. If we are doing well, whatever we're supposed to be doing. This is a point where everyone may achieve Anna, doing her job well. I remember one Christmas when our boys were small, which became almost a disaster, because even though we had bought highly regarded name brand toys and sports gear, before Christmas Day had ended, every major item that Santa Claus had brought lay broken, not through the fault of rough play, but because of shoddy work. Even the radio that I had given my husband was broken. I remember picking up a little square piece of paper and looking at it and saying, "Number 24, why did you let this faulty merchandise get by inspection?" Maybe number 24 did not take pride in her work. Maybe it seemed a thankless, unimportant, not too highly paid job. Maybe it was a far cry from her childhood dreams. In Ecclesiastes 3:12, we read, "It is God's gift to man that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil." This has what seems to be a companion verse in 1 Corinthians 10:31. "So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." We're told what to do: eat, drink, work, and we're told how to do it to the glory of God. Understanding glory is necessary. Without waxing too theological, we might simplify glory as distinguished honor or praise or exalted opinion. It is that whatever we do should make the reputation and honor of God more secure in the eyes of the world. It seems to me that a Christian woman on an assembly line in a factory ought to do her best not just for her reputation, but for the reputation of God, to whom her fellow workers know she belongs. It seems to me that a Christian woman behind a checkout counter or behind an executive's desk should take the same joy in her reputation to secure the reputation of God. Whatever a Christian does, she should not settle for less than excellence. I think it was Hambone who said that he would be glad to work if he could just find any pleasure in it. And the Bible says for us to do just that. Pleasure is defined as an agreeable sensation. But maybe the agreeable sensation doesn't come with the work or during the work, but with the results of the work. A woman practices much as a doctor does. When a doctor begins his practice, he simply digs in and faces every case that comes to his examining room. Dull ones show up. Nothing more challenging than red ears or red throat may show up for several days. And then one day, his perseverance in achieving readiness rewards itself magnificently as he distinguishes the symptoms of meningitis from those of a simple virus. After proper treatment works the child's recovery, the physician sits back and enjoys being a doctor. On the day when he misses the key symptoms and his nurse orders flowers for a funeral, the doctor sits back, miserable in his failure, and hates being a doctor. What woman among us has not come to the end of one day elated with being a woman, and on the next day hated the whole business? Listen to your world, and the clearest sound that you hear will be the quiet voice of your Lord speaking, not to the world, but to you. saying things to you like, how can you dislike anything about being a Christian woman? Or about being a WMU worker, or a WMU leader, or a WMU follower, when the results are so fine? Why can't you look at your work and your leadership and see all of this coming to life in missions volunteers,